Join me in John chapter 16. As I alluded to, another change coming. I wrote a sermon 3 weeks ago to use today that I knew I wouldn't use. It was there in case. I would like to speak to you from John chapter 16. And it is the passage we used and the topic we used for our devotion material as we were in Belize. And we ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And please note the personal who, not the impersonal what, who, which is a major portion of understanding who the Holy Spirit is. It's a person, not a power, not a force, but a person, a personal. So, please join me in John chapter 16 as we discuss the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll begin reading at verse 5. John chapter 16, verse 5. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in him, in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you will see me no longer. Concerning the judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I was asked the other night, why did Jesus have to go before the Holy Spirit could come? Mr. Sides asked that question in our Bible study the other night. Excellent question that I have no answer for. Except saying that it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and do the work that the Father had given him in the accomplishment of salvation, paying the penalty, paying the price on that cross for the sins of the people. However, if God's decrees, God's plan had ended right there, you and I would not know salvation. Yes, Jesus did all that the Father had given him to do, and he said, I must return to him who sent me. And as I've said, if it stopped right there, then we would not know salvation. Because it was necessary for Jesus Christ to come and do what he did. But then, as he said, it is necessary for me to return to that one who sent me, the Father. Because if I do not go, the Helper, the Comforter, would not come. Two verses I want to point out to you specifically. Verse 7. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Again, a great quandary. The Lord Jesus Christ came and did all that the Father had given him. And you would think that he would stay and lead his people through that personal contact. But no, that was not the plan. That was not the decree. It was necessary for him to go for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come. Okay, what's the Holy Spirit going to do when he comes? What's his job? Well, when we asked the question, who is the Holy Spirit, we had and studied five of the six answers I'm going to give you here just in a moment. But then again, I want to take you to another verse, verse 13. This is important. When the Spirit of truth comes, all right, stop there. One of his names, the Spirit of truth. Whatever the Spirit brings to you in mind, in text, in reading, in prayer, whatever the Spirit brings to you will always be the truth. There is no facade. There is no double meaning. There is no innuendos. There is no... It's the truth. And so, okay, what is he going to say to us? What does the Holy Spirit have to say to us? What is that truth that he has to say to us? Well, let's read on. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. He has authority. He has the same authority as the Father. He has the same authority as the Son. The Trinity, although we cannot explain the Trinity fully, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each being God, each having the same essence of godliness and righteousness, but yet Jesus says he will not speak on his own authority. Just as Jesus did not speak in his own authority, he said, I have come to tell you only what the Father has given me. So here, the Holy Spirit is coming, but he cannot say anything of his own authority. Reading on, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. Verse 14, I'll go on. He will glorify me for what he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The truth, the Spirit of truth. And he only has to say to you what Jesus Christ first has said to you. So when you're in prayer, when you're in conversation and that message, working of the Holy Spirit comes in your life, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's right? Validate it by Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never tell you, never lead you into anything that is contrary to Scripture. In our study, there was an illustration where one was going to get married to one that was not a believer, and et cetera, et cetera. And the person said, I've prayed about it, and I just have this peace. God is just giving me this peace about it, that it's okay to marry this individual. The Holy Scriptures didn't say that. So they had peace in their mind because they did not submit themselves to Holy Text. Because the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything contrary to text. So the work of the Holy Spirit is that mysterious, mystical thing that we just don't understand. However, we should not be confused by what the Holy Spirit would bring us, because what he brings us is what Jesus Christ has said and what we have recorded in Holy Text. We know beforehand what the Holy Spirit is going to bring to us. We know beforehand. All right, now, in our study this week, we looked at six descriptors of who the Holy Spirit is. I'll give them to you quickly because we're going to be short here. First of all, he is the third person of the Trinity. As I've said, he is God, fully God, same essence as the Father and as the Son. Can you pray to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Jesus Christ in his work on the cross gave you full and complete opportunity to go to the Godhead. In any form or fashion, you can pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, deliver me from this in the name of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Third person of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, same God, essence, different economic, different jobs. The Father decrees, the Son performs, the Holy Spirit brings the power of God. God the Father can decree all day long, and it will never be accomplished until the power of the Holy Spirit comes and accomplishes that which the Father has decreed. Third person of the Trinity. Secondly, life giver. He brings life. Christianity is all about life. That's why we are anti-abortion. We are anti-euthanasia. We are anti-anything that terminates life improperly. But you would quickly say, well, what about capital punishment? There is a difference in murder and killing. And we don't have time to go into that now, but if you go to the Old Testament, it substantiates that aspect of discipline and of punishment. But we are people of life because the Holy Spirit is a person of giving life. The Holy Spirit brings you life. that which was dead. We went to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, where God said, Son of man, go and prophesy to those dry bones laying in the desert. What could those dry bones do lying in that desert? Zip, not a thing. So those people who say that, yeah, we were fallen in the fall, in the great fall of Adam and Eve, but I still have a little bit of moral good. I can choose what's right and wrong morally. I can choose Christ if he's here and I can turn him away. No, you can't, because you are dead. We did the lost coin a couple of weeks ago. Dead. You know what dead means? Dead. No life, no breathing, nothing. But the Holy Spirit comes. Ezekiel was told to go prophesy to those dry bones. The Holy Spirit was there. And Ezekiel, you had to, you know, the hair on the back of his head had to stand up when he began hearing those bones rattle. God asked him, will these bones live? Ezekiel's smart enough to say, only you know, Lord. Ezekiel was weird, but he got that one right. Life giver. Thirdly, the advocate. Now, if you were from Britain, you would know that word very carefully, because an attorney in England, in Great Britain, is typically called an advocate. One who comes alongside a family and his own retainer, some of you have that, his own retainer to handle the business of the family such and when they have need. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. The advocate comes alongside you and conducts business with you, taking care of you during that time. The word is paraclete. In the Greek, paraclete, and just phonetically spell it out, it'll be close. Paraclete means to come along and stand alongside. And that is great, because we could not conduct our lives, we could not be who we are. But it also has somewhat of a negative connotation to it, for us personally, not for the Spirit. As I mentioned in our circle that morning we were studying this, if the Holy Spirit is always with me, always walking alongside me, think about where you've taken the Holy Spirit. I've taken the Holy Spirit in places he shouldn't have been. Think about what you've said to others, and the Holy Spirit standing right there. Right there. Right there. Jesus said, I will be to you to the end of the age. Now, he, not him personally, but him, the Holy Spirit. Next, the sanctifier. Sanctify means to set apart. Means you're weird people. You're peculiar people. It means you're set apart from the world. The Holy Spirit comes and through sanctification grows you more and more like Christ. And so you become weird to the world. Those of us who are trying to look like the world by the way we dress, by the way we do our hair, by the way, and we try to say the word, we try to act like society, man, you are losing it. Churches conform and change the conduct of their worship so they're more easily accepted by the world. They're lost. A non-believer that walks into this room and hears our worship service should scratch their head going, what did they say? Well, you're supposed to have those seeker-sensitive services so that people don't get offended. Steve Stewart gets on me occasionally. He said, Tim, it's been a while since you stepped on my toes. We are supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to not look like the world. So please stop striving to look like the world. Sanctify. Sanctification means more and more like Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The anointer. The anointer means to empower. The Holy Spirit anoints. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would bring his power. The power would come upon an apostle, a prophet for a period of time, and he would be empowered to do the work of God in that period of time. Then the Holy Spirit would withdraw. But those of us of the New Testament age, the Holy Spirit never leaves. And so that anointer, that empowerment leads us to be able to do that which God has given us to do. If you are not anointed in the work of the Holy Spirit, you will not be successful. I am anointed to preach. Tony is anointed to teach. Susan is anointed to play. You are anointed to live life as a father. You are anointed to live life as a mother and a grandmother and a teacher. There are so many facets of that, but it is that power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do it. And then the last one is my favorite. The illuminator. That would be a t-shirt. Holy Spirit, the Illuminator. Do you realize that if the Holy Spirit did not illuminate, did not shine the light on holy text in a way that you could understand it, you would never know anything about God? You could crack open that Bible and read it from front to back until you're blue in the face. If the Holy Spirit is not there to illumine, to bring that word to bear, then you would never know one word of it. And so all of these other things, the anointer, the life giver, the third person of the Trinity, whatever name you call the Holy Spirit, the work of Jesus Christ, the work of God through the Old Testament, the work of God through the New Testament, you read that, you would not know any of it, be able to understand any of it, if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit, the illuminator, the illumining of the word. To illuminate means to shine a light on, to brighten. Thank the Lord. Jesus said many times, he who has ears to hear and eyes to see, let them hear and see. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. What was he speaking of? The illumination of the Holy Spirit. Let us have eyes to see, which means the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes, that I read the text, I see God working, and I understand it. All right, now, the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming. What brought the Holy Spirit to us? What had to happen for the Holy Spirit to be brought to us? What had to happen for the Holy Spirit to be here among us this morning? That right there. Thank you, Eddie, putting that up this morning. That right there. If that didn't happen, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. If the Holy Spirit didn't come, we wouldn't understand what that was, is. And if we did not remember it by doing this, then we would fall short. Yes, the Holy Spirit is incredible. The power of God among us. But that had to happen first. And so here as we move into the Lent season, we are looking toward and forward to Easter, when that Good Friday comes and our Lord loses his life on that cross. But as we know, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming.